Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen again. Amen. So good to be in the house of the Lord on this morning. Very, very grateful. Grateful to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Psalms 122, verses 1, it reminds us, it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. So very grateful to see your beautiful smiling faces on this wonderful Sunday morning, the Lord's Day. If you're visiting for the first time here at Central Church of Christ, I want you to know that you are our honored guest. We hope and pray that something is said on this morning that will bring you one step closer to who God has called you to be. Amen. The saints who faithfully gather here at Central Church of Christ believe that the Holy Bible is the inspired word of God. The vision here at Central Church of Christ is to see the world as Jesus saw it, to love the world as Jesus loved it, and to serve the world as Jesus served it. Amen. Jesus Christ of Nazareth has provided the best example for each and every one of us to follow. Amen. To see, to love, and to serve. And I want to take this time right now to thank all of my fellow brothers in leading in the worship service on this morning. It's a pleasure to serve alongside you in honor of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And now, by the grace of God, with all humility and all boldness, I have an opportunity to share with you a portion of God's holy and divine word. Amen. Now, last week we had Brother John. He was able to share with us an amazing message. It was very encouraging. The message was very encouraging. It reminded us all of the gifts that God has given to each and every one of us. Amen. We see here that Brother John, he shared with us that ultimately the gifts that God has given to all mankind was given in the form of Jesus Christ. However, not everyone accepts it. Amen. Not everyone accepts this wonderful gift. Brother John also shared that those in the body of Christ, they have received a diversity of gifts. Amen. A diversity of gifts has been given to each and every one of us who are in the body. Amen. And guess what? It's all from one Spirit. Amen. And that Spirit is from the Lord. And to sum it all up, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12, sums it up. If you would, please turn there just briefly. This is a recap. Amen. I love doing recaps because it helps us to be able to continue to build on God's word. It helps us to retain that knowledge and that wisdom and understanding, asking God to keep our hearts fertile. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12, again, it sums it up best. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Amen. Amen. We're all one. I think you referenced Ephesians chapter 4 as well, and you can go all the way down to Ephesians 4 and 11 and 12, where it really highlights the point. But the main point of the lesson last week was that we must accept the gifts that God has given to each of us. Amen. He's given it to us so that we can fully use them for his glory. And however, the gifts that we all have received, guess what? They're meaningless. They're meaningless if we forget. If we forget the more excellent way. And on that note, today's message is titled, Owe No One Anything. Amen. And I hope that this message helps us all to further identify the debts that we truly owe one another for Christ's sake. Amen. Owe no man anything. I have a question for you. Church family, have you ever owed anything to anyone? Have you? All right. Let me ask you, how do you behave when you owe someone something? How do you behave? What is the feeling that comes over you? Is there a sense of urgency to repay that person back? Can you pay them back? Do you look for ways to show your appreciation and your gratitude over time? Or is there a reluctance to pay? Do you tell yourself afterwards that you would never put yourself in that situation ever again if you could help it? Turn with me in your Holy Bibles to Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. And I'm just going to ask our church family, if you would. I meant to mention this earlier. I'm here today without my loving bride, Sister Yolanda Bunzi. She did have emergency surgery earlier on, 2 weeks ago. So please keep her lifted up in your prayers, if you would. And Sister Nevaeh is at home, just making sure that she is just accounted for. Amen. So please keep my wife lifted up in your prayers. I meant to mention it earlier, but this is a fitting time as well. Amen. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. The questions that I would like for each and every one of us to consider on this morning are as follows. What is debt? What does it mean to owe no man anything within this text? And how can I apply this principle as a Christian daily? As we go through this lesson, I want you to observe these questions that we have presented from both the physical side as well as the spiritual side. Amen. Physical as well as the spiritual. And if you are able at this time, would you please, please stand for the reading of God's holy and divine word? Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. It reads, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." Please take your seats. May the Lord add a choice blessing to all who read and obey his holy and divine word. Amen. So let's go through this together, church family. We'll start with Romans chapter 13, verses 8. It reads, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." The inspired writer Paul is encouraging fellow Christians in Rome to avoid owing anything to any man with an exception. And that exception is love. Amen. Paul writes in Romans chapter 13, verses 8, that loving one another fulfills the law. But what law? What law is Paul referring to? Well, Paul, in context, is referring to the perfect law of liberty. Amen. That is found in Jesus Christ. And then he references the components of the law of Moses to show how Jesus Christ fulfills the law through his matchless sacrificial love. So as we read Romans chapter 13, verses 8, recognize that when you owe nothing to anyone or no one except to love them, it means truly to seek the best for one another in Christ. And he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Paul is revealing to us all that when it comes to what we owe as human beings, we will be consistently owing love to one another. Amen. We will consistently owe love to one another. The love that we have has been gifted to us through Christ Jesus. And it is enough to fulfill this gift of love in which we owe to one another. Turn with me, if you would, in your holy Bibles to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 to 28. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 to verse 28. And when you have it, please say amen. 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 Proverbs chapter 3, verses 27 through 28, it says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act." Then it goes on, it further reads, "Do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow and I'll give you when you already have it with you." Amen. That right there really stands out. It's really pointing to how we ought to really recognize and behave and to see what God is really showing us when it comes to the love in which we have to be able to administer to one another. Turn with me in your holy Bibles to James chapter 4, verses 17. This was actually in the lesson on this morning. Amen. I told you to be here. James chapter 4, verses 17. Turn with me in your holy Bibles. James chapter 4, verses 17. It says, so any person who knows that what is right to do, but does not do it, to him it is sin. Wow. Wow. This really hits me, you know, right in the nose, because I know that maybe you can relate. There's plenty of times where, you know, I set my heart and my intention to do a particular thing. And, you know, sometimes it may fall by the wayside where
I have good intentions and wanting to fulfill and to do something, you know, for someone else because the Lord put it on my heart. It wasn't anyone else but the Lord. And it's like being able to walk in that with integrity and with love and in truth to fulfill what the Lord has asked us to do. So again, that's the Holy Scriptures for us. Now, I want you to take a good look at all of the debt that is racking up in our lives. We got debt racking up in our lives, that debt of love, as we look to answer the first question on this morning. As we look to answer the first question on this morning, what is debt? What is debt? Well, by definition, debt, looking at the Vine's Concise Dictionary, it defines the word debt. The Greek word is ophile or ophilema, which means it means that which is owed. And it also means debt and dues. Amen. In legal terms, debt is a financial liability or obligation owed by one person, the debtor, to another person, which is the creditor. Another word for debtor is borrower, and another word for creditor is lender. Amen. Now, debt is something that is owed, such as money, goods, products, resources, or services. Now, debt is a state of being under obligation to pay or repay someone or something in return for something received. Now, debt comes in all different shapes, all different sizes, and all different amounts. And incurring debt makes some people uncomfortable. And this is for good reason. Amen. According to the most recent data from the Federal Reserve quarterly report on consumer debt, the United States of America has $18.04 trillion total in debt. Amen. Credit card debt, $1.21 trillion. Auto loan debt balances, $1.66 trillion. We have student loan debt, $1.62 trillion. Payday loans, approximately $844 billion. Mortgages, $12.61 trillion. And this actually translates, on average, to approximately $10,000 worth of debt per household, just on credit cards alone. Amen? Amen. I share this with you to say that debt can be both stressful as well as overwhelming when it is mismanaged. Now, there's a phrase that says, modern day slaves are not in chains, they are in debt. And if we want to be able to understand and break free from the shackles of debt, we must look to what God's word has to say regarding the matter. Now, the debt that Paul is referring to is one that is a good type of debt. Amen. It's a good type of debt that Paul is referring to, a good type of debt to have. But an even better one to actually fulfill. Amen? Amen. And that debt that he's been speaking of, as we read in earlier on in Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10, it says, through love, amen. Proverbs, if you would, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22, verses 7. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 7. When you have it, church, please say amen. Proverbs chapter 22, verses 7. Proverbs 22, verses 7, and it reads, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Amen. That's scripture. Psalms chapter 37, verses 21. Would you be able to turn there with me? Psalms chapter 37, verses 21. Amen. We're getting some finger exercising on this morning. Amen. Amen. This is good. It's good for the body. Good for the soul, too. Amen. Psalms 37, verses 21. It says, the wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give graciously. Amen. As we look to answer the second verse of our lesson text on this morning, it reads, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Again, the Apostle Paul in context is referring to the perfect law of liberty. And that is only found in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's found in Jesus Christ. And he is in this particular verse, he's actually referencing the components of the law of Moses to show how Jesus Christ fulfills the law. Amen. King Jesus in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. If you would turn with me, please. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. When you have it, please say amen. Amen. That's Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. Amen. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then it goes on to let us know that all the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Amen. The first commandment, we can see that it's vertical. It's vertical. It's between you and God. Amen. It's vertical. The second is horizontal, between you and your neighbor. And all the law hangs on these two commandments. And you can see that at every single turn, the significance of what Jesus did on the cross for all mankind. Amen? Amen. But as Brother John shared last week, not everyone accepts this gift. Love God like no one else. Love your neighbor as yourself. Turn with me in your Holy Bibles to Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 7. Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 7. This is the parable of the lost sheep. Amen. And you know that these parables, they all go together. The lost coin, the lost sheep, and the prodigal son. Amen. But the Lord is trying to show us something in each and every one of these. And ultimately, let's go ahead and digest and dissect it together. Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 7. When you have it, please say amen. Amen. It reads, verse 3, so he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. Amen. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. Amen. I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 just persons who need no repentance. Amen. Let's dissect this together, church family. We see in verses number 3, it says, so he, Jesus, spoke this parable to them, the Pharisees and the scribes, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which was lost until he finds it? Now, Jesus in this parable, he describes a shepherd overseeing 100 sheep. Now, one of the sheep out of the 100 somehow gets lost. Amen. And we know that whenever anyone finds themselves in a predicament where they're lost, as you know earlier in the book of James chapter 1:14, every man is moved away by his own temptation and lust and entice. So if we find someone who is lost, right, somehow this particular sheep gets lost, right, in the parable that Jesus is sharing. And the shepherd, When he realizes that the sheep has actually gone missing, with great compassion, he, the shepherd, is willing to go out of his way in search of the one missing sheep. Now, sheep who stray away from the flock as well as straying away from the shepherd can find themselves in dangerous situations that could cost them their very lives. Notice that the lost sheep does not make his or her way back to the flock on their own. And this brings us to the first point, church family. Christ's love drives action and care. Every person matters and should be loved and cared for, whether in a community or when they find themselves in a predicament where they are lost. The Lord God understands the value of every human life, and we can see that the shepherd was willing to give up comfort, to give up convenience, to find the lost sheep. This is the sacrificial love that Jesus is teaching to each and every one of us. And this is a fulfilling love that is determined to restore that which is lost. Continuing the text, we look at verse 5, and it says, and when he, the shepherd, has found it, the sheep, he lays it, the sheep, on his shoulder, rejoicing. Notice that the shepherd actively sought out the lost sheep until he found him or her. This was an active love. Amen. Active. Amen. This lets us know that the Lord has a heart for those who are in need or are actually lost. Now, tying this back to the lesson text in Romans chapter 13, the way in which love is demonstrated towards one another, it actually provides that restoration. Amen. And that's the point. You have no idea. You have no idea. You're actually sitting here on this morning and serving God in spirit and in truth. But you actually have no idea in this time the impact or the influence that you have when you love. No idea your impact or your influence. There's an opportunity to rejoice knowing that this sheep who was lost is now found. Amen. As we look at verse number 6, and it says, when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. It's a celebration. It's pure joy. The lost sheep is restored to the fold and is now reunited. Amen. It's a cause for celebration. Understand this, church, that King Jesus, he shares this parable with the Pharisees and the scribes, and he's pointing out their attitude in response to their lack of concern for the lost. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they were more concerned with maintaining their own status and their own purity, that they were blind to understanding God's grace. And church, if we're not careful, if we don't take heed to looking at, you know, what the Lord is actually trying to teach us and carefully with his compassion and his grace, if we're not careful, we can easily become blind and it'll be a spiritual blindness, if you will, if we approach the opportunities to love our neighbor with the wrong attitude. Amen? Amen. Finishing the text, verses number 7. God is so good. Amen. And it says, I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Wow. Wow. This is so powerful. It's powerful because it shows us all where the Lord's focus is. Amen. This is powerful because it shows us that for one sinner who repents, catch that, repents, one who repents, who's pricked in the heart, moved with godly sorrow to willingly change, there will be more joy in heaven than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. You see, the overarching theme that can be found in this parable as it compares to the lesson text is that God has a deep desire to seek and restore those who are lost and is overjoyed when someone has been reconciled. Amen. The love of Christ that has shown us all, it actually drives each and every believer today to fulfill God's commandments. That is the driving force. His love. That is the driving force. We gather here today to serve, to honor, to praise, to worship, to glorify God, while also encouraging and edifying one another. And we do this through hymns, through songs, and spiritual songs, through love. That love, that love of Christ that makes us one. Amen. Amen. It's the love of Christ that bonds us together in harmony. It's the love of Christ that solidifies our unity. Amen. God does not force anyone to love him. And we are all given a free will to choose. But guess what? God already chose us and demonstrated his love through his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. And we can now know true love because he has first loved us. Amen. And Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus Christ said, those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick. And while there may be some truth that you or I can actually lead a horse to water, but you or I cannot make a horse actually drink, this well-known phrase. Understand that Jesus is teaching in Luke chapter 15, verses 3 and 7, that when it comes to God, when it comes to the Good Shepherd, there are no limitations to his ability to actively search for the lost, even when those who are lost are not seeking him. Catch that. Even when the lost are not even seeking him, the Lord can still find a way to reach him. Amen. Amen. I'm reminded of Saul of Tarsus. You remember Saul? Amen. You remember Saul of Tarsus? Well, I'll give you a little quick reminder. Saul of Tarsus, who witnessed the death of Stephen, The same Saul of Tarsus who murdered and persecuted the first century believers. One day, during the afternoon, Saul of Tarsus was headed down the road to Damascus, amen, and Jesus Christ actually appeared unto him. He appeared unto Saul of Tarsus. He blinded him with the light of his glory, and Jesus asked Saul, "Why do you persecute me? Why do you kick against the pricks?" The good shepherd actively pursues the one who was lost, named Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus, prior to this encounter, did not seek after the Lord. However, when the Lord found him, church family, look at your neighbor, if you would. Look at your neighbor and say, "I once was lost." Look at your neighbor and say, "I once was lost, but now I'm found." Amen. Amen. I can stand here today and tell you that I once was lost, but now I'm found. Amen. As we continue with the second question, on this morning, what does it mean to owe no man anything? What does it mean to owe no man anything? What does the Holy Bible say? Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 13, verses 7. It's one verse prior to our actual lesson text on this morning. Romans chapter 13, verses 7. And when you have it, please say amen. Amen. Again, looking at one verse before the lesson text, Romans chapter 13, verses 7, it reads, "Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes." It's tax season, church. It's tax season. Amen. "If revenue, then revenue." Amen. "If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor." Wait a minute. This sounds so familiar. Does it not? This sounds so familiar. Turn with me in your Holy Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 22, verses 21. Matthew chapter 22, verses 21. King Jesus, in Matthew chapter 22, verses 21, when the Pharisees plotted against Jesus, they asked Jesus if it was lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not. And when Jesus asked those whose image is inscribed on the coin, they replied, "Caesar." And Jesus said to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." This means that you pay your obligations to everyone, amen. This means that as Christians, as children of the Most High God, we fulfill our obligations. Notice that it says to everyone, which means that we do not get to pick and choose what obligations we honor, not just to other Christians, not just to whom we like or feel comfortable with, but to everyone. Amen. Brother Bunzi, what are you telling me? Are you telling me that as a Christian, we're prohibited from taking on monetary debt? The debts that were mentioned earlier, student loan debts, car loans, credit cards, and mortgage, is it prohibited for Christians to have any monetary debt? No. The Holy Bible does not say that. Amen. So I won't say that. Amen. However, the Holy Bible does equate that type of debt to bondage. The Holy Bible does equate that type of debt to enslavement. The Holy Bible does equate that type of debt to being bound. Amen. Proverbs chapter 13, verses 1 says, "Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding." It may be wise to never be or to never have to go into monetary debt. But as we delve into this lesson text, understand that it's more about the principle of fulfilling obligations of all kinds. Amen. As we can continue with the final lesson text, on this morning, it reads in verse number 10, Romans 13, verses 10, it says, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." The inspired writer Paul highlights that love does not work in any way to harm, hurt, or endanger his neighbor. Love is the fulfilling of the law. This passage of Romans, we can see that Paul, he wrote it by way of inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's teaching us that love is the core of Christian living. Amen. Fulfilling God's commandments. That is the core of Christian living. Please turn with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 14, if you would. Amen. We're getting that exercise for our fingers and for our hearts. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 14. When you have it, please say amen. Amen. Let all things be done with what? With what? With love, with charity. Amen. Some of your translations say charity. So let all things be done with love. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. That's 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Amen. God's word is true. Amen. When you have it, please say amen. 1 John 4, 7 through 8. Amen. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Verse number 8, it says, he who does not love does not know God. For God is what? God is what? He is love. Amen. This is the last verse before we bring it home. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8. Amen. Amen. When you have it, please say amen. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8. And above all things, have fervent what? Love amongst yourself, for love shall cover a multitude of sin. Amen. As we ask the final question, as we look to seek to answer the final question on this morning. Amen. How can I apply this principle daily? Amen. How can I apply this principle daily? I have a question for you, church. By a show of hands, have you ever ordered food to be delivered from one of your favorite restaurants to your house? Raise your hand if you have. I know I have. I'll ask the question once more. Have you ever ordered food to be delivered from one of your favorite restaurants? It's fairly simple. Everyone can pretty much relate to that. Can you relate? Amen. All right. Now follow me, church. When the food finally arrives to your house, you pay the person delivering the food. I know that we're in a new day and age where you can just kind of use the app and just pay and do your tips on your phone. That's fine, too, or online. I understand that. But I know that there's also the opportunities to meet people where they are. You pay the delivery person the food for the food being delivered. You tip them for their services. All right. Now, what do? You bring the food into the kitchen, right? You're getting ready. You know, your mouth is salivating. You're ready to take on this food. So very excited to eat. Amen. You bring the food into the kitchen only to discover that there are a few items missing from your order. Man, what's the first thing that you do? Well, you double check. You recheck to make sure that whatever was in the bag, you didn't miss anything, right? You just do your double and your triple check to look to see what's in the bag. I know I ordered. And then what's the second thing that you do? The second thing. Well, you check your receipt. You check your receipt to see that if what you ordered was actually something that you paid for. Correct? Do you follow? All right. But why do you do this? Why do you do this? Because you expect to receive what you paid for. Well, I know a man whose name is above all names, and he keeps his receipts. Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but was made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus died on the cross and was buried in a tomb. On the third day, he rose from the dead. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Matthew chapter 20, verses 28 says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus paid it all when we were suffering in the bondage of sin. Jesus paid it all when the past mistakes tried to keep us from moving forward. Jesus paid it all when rejection and loneliness tried to steal our joy from within. Jesus paid it all when shame tried to hinder your development. Jesus paid it all when the pain of loss was too much to bear. Jesus was the one who heard you when you cried out to him at your lowest moments of despair. And Jesus said, come on and let us reason together. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be as red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Romans chapter 6, verses 23, and the lesson is yours. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. If you're not a member of the Lord's body, and you're asking yourself, what must I do to be saved? You must obey the gospel. Amen. What is the gospel? Listen carefully. The gospel is this. Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the only begotten Son of God the Father who died for the sins of the world, the entire world, yours and mine. Jesus died on the cross at Calvary, was buried in a borrowed tomb. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. And guess what? He rose. Amen. He rose. In all glory, he rose from the grave. Amen. In all glory. We have an opportunity, church family, to now be able to walk in that love, walk in that truth, walk in that newness of life that is found in Jesus Christ. He was willing to pay it all so that we can be able to live. Amen. Live a life more abundantly. Amen. It's so very good that we can be able to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. And he did it willingly. He had an opportunity to call 10,000 angels. But instead, he chose to obey the Father. Amen. And he had to learn obedience. You got to remember, he came down from glory. He condescended. He came down from glory for each and every one of us. And we too have to learn obedience. It's not something that we're just born with knowing. Amen. It's something that we have to be able to learn, be willing to learn. Amen. God is so good. Amen. Again, if you're listening to this and you are a member of the Lord's body, and you realize that there are some things in your life where you may have been holding on to them and trying to tackle them yourself rather than to give it to the Lord and asking him to show you how to love, show you the way. I just pray, I just ask that you would just continue to repent and allow the Lord to use you, allow the Lord to help you to be able to request prayer, because prayer changes things. Amen. Prayer is our Wi-Fi. You get that direct connection in the time of need. Amen. Back to the source. So again, I pray that this message on this morning actually continues to help you to walk and to walk in that love, in that truth that God has given to each and every one of us. And I pray that his word continues to grow in your hearts. I ask all of this in Jesus' holy name as we stand to sing the invitation song.
My stubborn will at last hath yielded.